In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. May be seated. Today we get to look at one of the unsung heroes of the Christmas story, somebody who never gets, I think, the press that he deserves. It's hard to say with a story written 2,000 years ago that the man is the overlooked person in the story. Usually it's the other way around. But in this story, I feel like Joseph never quite gets our attention. He's always there, right? In any plays, in any pictures, he's always there, but always a supporting member of the family. And maybe that's how he would want to be remembered. But today's gospel reading gives us Joseph's story. Matthew specifically tells Joseph's story, not Mary's, because Matthew, writing to Jews, wants to tell the story through the father's perspective. That's how Jews would have wanted to hear it. And in it, we don't see a lot about Joseph, but we can get some insight into his character. Just a little bit. So I just have a few thoughts on Joseph today. First, you can see that he loves Mary. That's clear from the story. One, they're engaged to be married. And engagements worked somewhat the same, somewhat different in that time. Betrothal would be a process where two families would come together and agree on a marriage. My son marries your daughter, vice versa. Kind of an old-time system, although, as the father of a daughter, I'm beginning to see the merit of it more and more. But I'm sure Rosie will disagree as she gets older. But you know, families would say, our child marries your child, here's what we're going to do. And they would agree on the logistics, right? There would be a dowry price, a price that the bride's family would pay to the groom's family, with the idea that you're taking care now of our daughter for the rest of her life. So this is a portion of money to help start that. There would be the agreement on the wedding and who would pay for what, right? It's similar stuff we do today. Who would pay for what, how big it would be, where it would be, when it would be. And then there would be a third part that I think the Jewish people were very clever about working into the betrothal process of who's gonna, what's gonna happen after the wedding. So the groom would have to have a plan of where they were gonna live and how he was gonna support the bride. Whether it was going to be living with the groom's parents and participating in their business, if it was farming or whatever, or being on his own. But they had to have a plan of how he was going to support the bride. So once all those things were settled, then the wedding could take place. But during the betrothal period, all those things were worked out. And perhaps even, you know, some families needed time to come up with a dowry. I mean, a dowry was not a cheap thing. So if it was a $10,000 dowry, you know, in our thinking, you know, some people might need to sell some things or get things ready to get that kind of money in hand. So during this betrothal period, they agreed to be married. They were committed to one another, but until the final logistics were settled, the wedding wasn't going to happen yet. So Mary and Joseph are in this betrothal period, and you can tell that Mary, we don't know much about Mary's feelings on Joseph, but you can tell from the story Joseph's feelings about Mary. And this is how you can tell. When Joseph found out that Mary was with child, our scripture story says, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly. Now, we might read over that and not quite fully get what that means, but Joseph is trying, even in the midst of thinking that Mary was unfaithful to him and broke their marriage agreement, is trying to find the best way to end this situation for Mary and the child. Now, Joseph, if he were looking for vengeance, could do it one way. He could publicly announce what's happened. Mary would be brought in the court and be found guilty of adultery and possibly killed. He doesn't want to do that to her. Even though he feels like she's betrayed him, he doesn't want to do that to her. I think most of us, when we're hurt that deeply, look for vengeance. That's just what we want. We want to get even. We want to see somebody get theirs. But Joseph, even though he's probably in an incredible amount of pain, isn't looking for vengeance. He's still thinking, what could be the best scenario for Mary and this child? I don't want to see them hurt. I don't even want to see them publicly disgraced. That's what our scripture story says. So is there a way she can just show up in Cheyenne with a backstory and be okay? You know, they didn't have the internet, so they couldn't check on those things back then. But is there a way she could just show up in another town? And, you know, she could tell the story that her husband died or something like that. And you know, she could be welcomed in that community instead of being a public disgrace. So Joseph is trying to figure out those logistics. Even in the midst of his pain, he's trying to figure out his logistics, not looking for vengeance, not looking to get even, still thinking of compassion for Mary and for the child. And it's during that time that he has a dream and God speaks to him in the dream. Joseph, this is a way God communicates with him. I don't know why. Some people in the Bible, God speaks through dreams. Some people have other means. But Joseph, this is how God reaches him. It's through dreams. Happened several times. And God tells him Mary's telling the truth. Mary's telling the truth. And he believes. He believes it. And then a second thing happens where Joseph gets his calling in this. And we would read over it because, you know, it doesn't strike us like it would strike them. But the angel in Joseph's dream specifically says this. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. God saves. So that's why that makes sense. You will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from his sins. Who's going to name the child? Joseph. The father names the child. That's how it was back then. The father names the child. So Mary had her moment where God said, here's what you're going to do. Joseph gets this moment. He says, you're going to name this child, meaning you're going to be dad. You're going to be dad. You're going to raise this child as your own. Love him as your own. Treat him as your own. You're going to be dad. And Joseph does. This is remarkable about Joseph. Joseph does. We don't know what happens after this. We assume Joseph has a good relationship with Jesus. We never hear anything that he doesn't. And by the time Jesus is an adult, about 30, we just assume Joseph is dead because Mary is a widow. So we assume Joseph has died somewhere between ages 1 and 30. But Joseph does. He says, okay, I'll raise him as my own. And he takes Mary as his wife. He proceeds with the marriage. So one, he believes. That's pretty incredible, because this is a pretty... It would take probably most of us more than one time hearing this to believe. And Joseph believes. And second, he raises the child as his own. This week in our Advent wreath, we have the love candle. And I think Joseph is such a fitting story of just what sacrificial love looks like within the context of a family. Joseph is not a man who does miracles. He's not a man who preaches. He's not a man who is noted for anything other in the scriptures than loving his family and sacrificing himself for them. It just so happens that his son is the Son of God. But his action is that of a father who loves and sacrifices for his family. It's normal stuff. It's not superhero stuff. It's not, you know, unattainable stuff. Joseph is a man faithful to God by being faithful to his family, loving them and sacrificing himself. Probably something we all could take away from that. Something we all could hear in that and be inspired by. I want to leave you with what I think was Joseph's biggest sacrifice. Because we all make sacrifices for our family. It's the nature of family. Everybody in here knows that feeling. But the biggest one Joseph had to make is usually the hardest, I think. And he had to give up, well, what could we say, his dreams, his expectations, his thoughts of what it was going to be like I think so oftentimes, I remember this one, when Sarah was pregnant with Rosie, I had these ideas of this is what having a little baby is going to be like. Then reality came and I had to adjust those expectations a little bit better than I would have expected. But we all have those moments, right? Where we enter something in life with our expectations. It's going to work just like this. Marriage is going to work just like this. Relationships are going to work just like this. Family is going to work just like this. And I'm sure Joseph had those. And in this moment, God's saying, give them up. You are going to have the most unorthodox family in the history of humanity. You're going to have to give those expectations up and just roll with it. And Joseph says, okay. Probably we all have an area in our life where we're hanging on to those expectations and they might keep us from embracing what God's doing now. You know, the peace and joy of the Christmas story comes with two people, a mother and a father, who are willing to sacrifice themselves for God's plan and for the child. I think there's something beautiful about that, something supernatural about the Christmas story, but there's also something so normal and human about it. A mother and a father sacrificing themselves for God and for the child. Something we can all take away from that in our family life. So if there is an area you struggle with letting go of that expectation, letting go of what it has to look like, remember Joseph, how he was willing to just let it all go. His plans for family, his plans for engagement, his plans for his wedding, let it all go and let God do something so much better in his midst. I hope that this Christmas and beyond, we could be inspired by Joseph to see how we can sacrifice those things for God and for the people we love in our life. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.